Well, good evening, everyone. If I haven't met you yet, my name's Josh, and I'm your campus pastor here. We're getting close to, I know people are still in midterm, so we're getting close to the end in a few weeks here. Have people figured out what they're doing this summer? Some people have. No, nobody. I was in a discipleship huddle yesterday, and Stephanie, who was playing piano earlier and your club president, she was talking about a couple opportunities that came up for her. She's talking about wanting to do a URA or an undergraduate research, what does that stand for? Is this award? Yeah. But then she found another opportunity in the field of medical physics, and now she wants to do that if she's able to. And now the question is she being called to a specific job? Is one of them the right decision or the wrong one? And that's kind of the idea that we'll be talking about tonight and the series this next few weeks. So every March, or most Marches, we like to talk about calling, vocation, that kind of thing, because it's the time, it's close to the time when people graduate, but even if you're not graduating, it's close to time for summer jobs, co-ops, that kind of thing, experience with whatever you're majoring in, right? So I've titled this series starting tonight and ending at the beginning of April before our banquet, Navigating God's Call at University. So two common questions I ask you guys when I sit down for coffee with you for the first time are, what's your major and what do you want to do with it? But the question we want to kind of tackle in this series really is, why has God called you to university? And we want to explore what it looks like to discern God's calling on your life as you pursue your degrees and eventually your careers as well. So tonight I'll be talking more on kind of general things. Next week we won't have one guest speaker, we'll actually have a panel of alumni to talk to you guys about their experience with graduating, leaving university, and kind of transitioning to careers and how they decided to do what they're doing now. And then at the end of the series, we'll have Pastor Todd closing us out at the beginning of April. So let's start with what not to do or how not to navigate God's call. So right off the bat, I want to say that you should not expect or believe that you are called to just one vocational thing. Okay? You can put the next slide. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I personally had this as a life verse for a while. Understanding it and believing it this way as I was growing up, that this verse was pretty much just saying, let go of everything, and God will direct you very, very, very specifically as to where he's calling you to go. That was all mostly because I had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. And I truly did trust that God would lead me, like, very, very specifically. But in this book, it's called Good News for Anxious Christians. In his chapter, Philip Carey is the author of this book. He's a philosopher and a professor in the States. He's got a chapter in here called Why You Don't Have to Find God's Will for Your Life. And he tackles this passage and kind of explains a better way to understand it. So he writes that to make straight your paths is not actually, it doesn't mean that God will make decisions for you, because a lot of people do think that. Instead, it means that God will keep you from wandering off and getting lost on crooked pathways. The idea is that if you obey God, he will keep you on the road, not veering off to the right or to the left. Okay? Now, the other part of that verse, do not lean on your own understanding. It doesn't mean that, don't think for yourself. to understand this part of the verse farther, you actually need to go to the next verse, Proverbs 3, verse 7, which says, "Be not wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and turn away from evil." Just to explain this a little more, I'm just going to read from the chapter. He says this, Philip Carey says this in the book. "Do not lean on your own understanding" surely means something very much like "be not wise in your own eyes." This is an essential precondition of the search for understanding. For if you are wise in your own eyes, then you will think you have no need to seek understanding, and that makes you a fool. So the message is, to put it bluntly, don't be stupid, thinking you already have all the understanding you need. Don't lean on the thoughts of your own heart, the understanding you already have, as if you had no need to keep learning. That's the way of the fool. Those who have wisdom are not wise in their own eyes, but always seeking wisdom, which means that first of all, they fear the Lord and learn his commandments, and therefore turn away from evil. So basically, as you're thinking about jobs and careers and things like that, and you know, figuring out what how you want to use your degrees, keep learning, keep seeking wisdom. Yeah, that's pretty much the point I want to make with that. Keep seeking wisdom. Now, we should not be just, you know, letting go entirely and hoping that God will create a very specific path for us. How would we know then what the options are for us? Because like I said, right, God will make straight your paths. He won't necessarily show you just one or two, but he'll make them straight if you go off them. But there is a way to figure out what those options are, what those paths are in your lives. And I'm going to talk about how to navigate God's calling well using material from this podcast I listened to. I've used it as an example in the past. It's called Becoming Something with Jonathan Pakluda. Their audience is young adults in their 20s and 30s is what they say at the intro of the podcast. And they had an episode called How to Find God's Will early in when they started the podcast. And in that episode, the hosts talk about the fact that you have the free will to make decisions, and that God won't have a specific vocational calling, and that you have a choice, and it's okay to choose. But then the hosts talk about what he calls a GPS, which I thought, you know, that's useful for me to use because I've titled this thing Navigating God's Call. So as you navigate God's call here at university, use this GPS. And the GPS stands for not global positioning system, but something that I'll explain here tonight. So G stands for groups. Proverbs 15, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says this: "Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." So I encourage you to let people in your life, in the core groups you're in, your church communities, your families, your friends, let people in your life, you know, based on what they collectively understand and believe from Scripture, speak to what they see in you, and let them help you with the decisions that you need to make. You know, at this point in the year, hopefully a lot of you have become closer friends with the people in your core groups. It's never too late to join those, by the way, if you're not in one. Still got a few weeks of core groups left. But if you have been in one for a while, you've been seeing the same people, journeying with the same people. So theoretically, they would know what all of your gifts are, what you're good at, and you would be able to trust them to speak into your life about your decisions about careers, jobs, and all of that. One way we actually do practice this in UCM is, as you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we elected new leaders. We appointed new core group leaders for the following year as well. And the process before that is I ask our core leaders, our execs, to kind of pay attention to who in their groups would be would have potential to be on these leadership teams. And that means you're already paying attention to the gifts and abilities that God has given to your peers and the people that you're currently leading, right? So, I would encourage you to go to these groups and ask them what they see in you, if there are certain decisions that you need to make. Apply that where possible, whether it's just summer jobs for now or whether you're graduating and you need to figure out what you need to do next. All right, moving on to P, which stands for prayer. As much as you have community and friends from whom you could ask for prayer, do not forget to converse and communicate with the Lord yourself. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you." As I was studying this verse, the three action items, let's call them, were broken down and summarized like this. Ask, it means that disciples should come to God in humility and awareness of need. To seek connects one's prayer with responsible action in pursuing the will of God. And to knock suggests perseverance in prayer and asking God for things. And to summarize all of that, disciples are to persist in prayer, confident that their Father will provide whatever is best for them according to his sovereign, gracious will. And I love what Kobe and Mackenzie were sharing during our open mic time, because that just, to me, those are amazing examples of just keeping in communion and communication with the Lord. And trusting that he will provide, again, whatever is best for you while you maintain that relationship with him. All right, so two parts so far of your GPS are groups and prayer. And last part, S, would be for scripture. The Bible is a holy text. It's divine, God-breathed, it's eternal. But one thing it will not do is answer specific questions like, should I take this job or that? Like when you all chose to come to UBCO, I don't think scripture specifically said, go to UBCO, right? But it does have the words, this is God's will for you, multiple times in the text. And paying attention to God's will starts there. So one of the examples I want to point out is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, which says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Right there, we find God's will, right? So we want to follow that first, to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Even if in the middle of how hard your midterms might be, if you have no idea what you're doing after the semester, be joyful and be thankful anyway for the things that you do have and the privilege for where you are now. So remember to follow that GPS. Now, once you get to a destination, what's next? You have to steward that calling well. So, to do that, first we need to understand that we were created to do work. From the very beginning of Scripture, Genesis 2, verse 15, says, "The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." So God gave Adam work to do in the garden right away. This chapter was before Adam and Eve had even been tempted to sin. So I want to make note that work itself is not a result of sin. Sometimes the difficulties of work can be, the challenges of work can be, challenges of your school can be a result of the fall and of sin. But in and of itself, doing work is not because of the fall. It's something that God created us and called us to do already. Now, once we understand that we were created to work, then the outlook on that that we should have is this. First of all, we need to be serving and working for the Lord, no matter where you are, no matter who your supervisors are, who your bosses are. It is Jesus that we serve. So Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 to 24 say this: whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. These words were written to slaves, actually, or bond servants in Colossae. And Paul isn't saying anything here about the morality of slavery, but what he is saying is that in the work that they already have to do, the work that they're already doing, they need to honor Christ in their hearts, in their work, and in their behavior. And the same is true for all of us in our careers and in your stage of life right now as a student. In all the things you do, honor and serve Jesus regardless of how hard that assignment is, how tough it is to study for your midterm. And if you have that kind of attitude now, that'll carry over to, you know, whatever you do next as you enter the summer or after you graduate. Besides working for the Lord, in whatever you're doing, shine as, you know, the light that Jesus called us to shine as into the world. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16 say this: do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Paul is writing generally here to believers in Philippi, but I believe it's definitely applicable to the life of a worker or a university student. Just to put it simply, to apply it, if you're not complaining, not grumbling, you're not fighting, disputing anybody, if you stay innocent, those around you will see you differently, right? Christ wants you to be light for him. And maybe that kind of attitude, the kind of positivity and joy in your work will lead them to want to know more about Jesus. And that'll start the conversation about who Jesus is. You know, and you can start that conversation, that relationship, and talk about why Jesus died for you, the truth of his resurrection, and the salvation available through Jesus' work on the cross. And again, all of this applies not only to work in the future, but now too, as in your work as a university student. And I just challenge and encourage you all to adapt these mindsets and outlooks on everything that you're doing, no matter how challenging things are, so that those around you will see Jesus in you. All right. Now, just to summarize all that I've talked about, here's what I want you to get from tonight is that first, we continue to be wise by knowing we are not wise, and continue to seek understanding and insight. When we are choosing the path that, you know, we think God might want for us or God might lead us to. Again, you have options, you have choices, but there are a couple of conditions. They must be in line with the scripture says about how God wants us to live. And finally, we must steward that work as faithful and devoted followers of Christ as we work for and serve him. Okay? Yeah, I want to give you guys time to go into groups for a discussion. Probably the same groups as your icebreaker groups earlier. If you came after that, just turn around to the turn to the people around you. Form groups of 4 to 6. These are the questions I want you to be talking about. So first, how do you understand what God's calling is in your life? And second, as you navigate God's calling, how well are you following your GPS, your groups, prayer, and scripture? So before we go into our discussion groups, let me just pray to close. Father, thank you for calling us to where we are now and calling us to work. Thank you for creating us for that. God, as we navigate the things you call us to do, first of all, we are grateful for the people that you've surrounded us with. We're grateful for the relationships we have with you and the way you communicate with us. I pray that we, each of us, are able to remember to lean on you and lean on each other as we figure out each and every one of our callings and purposes here on earth. In Jesus' name, amen.